Barry Larkin joins us on Sports Byline USA. I'm happy to say he is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame after playing his entire 19-year career with the Cincinnati Reds. 12 times he was an All-Star and also a National League MVP. You know, Barry, you grew up in the city of Cincinnati, so take me back there as a kid growing up and tell me a little bit about what you saw of the Cincinnati Reds back when you were a kid.
Well, when I was a kid, it was in the days of the Big Red Machine. So everyone in Cincinnati, growing up in Cincinnati, wanted to be a member of that team. It was just a tremendous amount of pride in Cincinnati. And there was a talk going around about how Sandlot baseball, how growing up in Cincinnati automatically gave us an edge because we had such a good team on the field professionally. And I think a lot of kids really bought into that, and a lot of coaches really bought into that. So I think our little league, our young amateur league baseball teams were really strong. We did really well. We got a lot of good coaching, a lot of intensive coaching. Some of the members of the teams are part of the community, and we could really identify with those players. So I grew up in Cincinnati wanting to be a member of the Big Red Machine with the willingness and understanding that if indeed I was able to be part of that, I was going to also have the responsibility of giving back, much like those guys did when I was a kid.
Joe Morgan is a friend of mine, and we've had a chance to talk over the years about what it was like in Cincinnati with the Big Red Machine and Sparky Anderson and Dave Concepcion and Johnny Bench and all of those type of players. And I came away from listening to Joe Morgan that there was something collectively about those guys, about not only the way they played the game, but the way they felt about each other, the whole demeanor of the Cincinnati Reds during that era. Can you help me put my finger on what that demeanor was, that image was of the Reds?
Well, I thought it was certainly something special. You know, I mentioned earlier about them being members of the community. I thought that as a player, but when I got a chance to actually be part of the organization, those veteran players really reached out to me. I was a 22-year-old kid from Cincinnati and trying to take David Concepcion's job at the time, and those guys really welcomed me. Specifically, Davey really welcomed me into Cincinnati, helped me with my baseball on the field, helped me off the field. At the time, I was just beginning to learn how to speak Spanish. He took me into his family and really helped try to teach me the language and the culture. He really mentored me as well did Tony Perez. You know, I got so many life lessons from guys on that team, just because they were good people and they played the game the right way. I remember another mentor of mine, Buddy Bell, the third baseman, gave me so many different things to think about mentally and, you know, as well as physically. But, you know, this was a collective group of really good guys and guys that played the game the right way. And, you know, I marked that team as a team of conscious, socially responsible players that gave back. And growing up and seeing that and then becoming a member of that team, you know, that was just a tremendous honor.
You went to Archbishop Moeller High School in Cincinnati. For anybody that knows anything about sports, that is a high school in Cincinnati that turned out some great football talent. And I know that in Ohio, they like to keep their athletes at home no matter what the sport is. So how did Barry Larkin ever get out of the state of Ohio and end up at the University of Michigan?
Well, pretty simple. I did not get recruited by Ohio State, so that was one reason why I never made the stop in Columbus. Matter of fact, another friend of mine who was a player of the year, he was from Worthington, Ohio, Casey Close, who is Derek Jeter and my agent now. But he, growing up in Worthington, Ohio, did not get recruited by Ohio State either. He and I were college roommates at the University of Michigan, so whenever we did come south of the border and play Ohio State, we had a little extra incentive to do well, and we both did do well against them. But, you know, you're right. People in Cincinnati and people in Ohio are very proud of their own and want to keep them in the house, and people could not understand why in the world I would go to the dark side up north. Well, I went to the dark side because the light side didn't recruit me at all.
I might point out that they have retired your number 16 up there. And how long did you spend in the minor leagues then, Barry?
I was there for about a year. I got drafted in 85, then 86. I got called up, and Never went back to the minor leagues.
Well, the reason why I asked that is that I thought it was a short period of time. What was it that allowed you to have the maturity to only spend a short time in the minor leagues and be able to make it so successfully in the major leagues? Was there something along the way? Was there somebody that took you underneath their wing that helped mentor you through that early part of your career?
Certainly in the big leagues. I mentioned some of those guys, Dave Parker, Eric Davis. Eric Davis was really instrumental. Buddy Bell was really my on-field mentor. He was the third baseman at the time. But I think the reason that I had some success early in the big leagues is because I decided to go to college. Because I didn't think – I did get drafted out of high school by the Reds in the second round. I didn't feel like I was physically nor mentally ready to go and kind of be out on my own and be a professional. So I wanted to go to school, and I'm glad I did because it was a controlled environment and it was a place where I could really kind of spread my wings and find out who I was and who I wanted to be as a person. And, you know, I think that maturity, those 3 years that I spent up at Michigan, helped me mature as an individual. And then once I did sign, there were certainly some great people in the organization, but, you know, Buddy Bell on the field, Pete Rose was my first manager, Tony Perez, David Concepcion, Eric Davis, Dave Parker. I can continue to go on, but there's a lot of guys that really helped me early in my career and showed me how to do it the right way. Eric Davis, my first year in the big leagues, didn't really know me, but invited me in the offseason to go out to L.A. and work out with him. And I thought we were going to go out to L.A. and go to the, you know, the clubs and go watch the Lakers game and all that kind of stuff. Well, 8 o'clock the next morning, I'm out running a hill and going, oh, my goodness, is this what it takes to make it in the big leagues? And that was in the offseason. That was a week and a half after the season ended. So I found out early in my playing career, professional career, that there's no easy way and there's no shortcuts. And I'm very appreciative of that.
If there are two words in my mind that describe Barry Larkin and his playing career, it would be consistency and discipline. You were certainly consistent as a shortstop, but the discipline came, I thought, with your hitting. It's interesting. You had one season in which you led all major leaguers by striking out only 24 times in 588 bats. Where did that discipline and consistency come from? Because that's an amazing number, only 24 times in 588 at bats.
Well, you know, I really took striking out personally. I just didn't want to strike out. And I'm sure those 24 times out of those 500 and however many at bat, I wasn't happy about striking out. I just made it a personal thing with myself in the striking out. Now, same with making an error. My throwing errors were okay, but a fielding error, I felt like if I got a chance to get my glove on the ball, then I should at least be able to catch it. And so I just made it I just was determined mentally. He talked about the discipline. I think that's just something that I just felt I was very passionate about and wanted to make sure that it did not happen. Or, in a more positive note, I wanted to make sure that I put the ball in play. Because that's kind of how I tried to play my career and live my life, more on the positive side as opposed to what I want to do as opposed to what I do not want to do. And I think the minute that I started thinking about don't strike out, that's the first thing that I would do is striking out. So I tried to live it, and that was a Buddy Bell a lesson right there. Don't tell yourself what not to do. Tell yourself what you're going to do and do what you say you're going to do. So, I just feel so pleased as a person and as a player to have those guys and come up the time that I did because they were so instrumental in my development.
One of the other things that impressed me an awful lot is the fact that you never tried to do more with a pitch than what you could do with it. Now, you hit 198 home runs, but you also had power when you needed power. You became the first shortstop ever to hit 5 home runs in the span of 2 consecutive games. Did you look for pitches to be able to drive the ball, or how did you look upon power hitting?
You know, power hitting for me was it was really relative to where I was hitting in the lineup, depending on the situation in the game. I also hit 30 home runs, but I never considered myself a home run hitter. I just felt like there were certain times where I could look for a pitch in a particular zone. Once again, I have to go back to the tutelage and some of the help that I got from some of the players. Tony Perez speaking about hitting and hitting with runners in scoring position or hitting in a particular count, when I was ahead in the count, he taught me about really zoning in to where I like to have the ball. And I used to break the hitting zone up into four different zones. And he would tell me as the count would build against me, my zone would get bigger. But as the count grew in my favor, my zone would get much smaller, and I'd look for a particular pitch in a particular situation. So I just really took that mental approach to hitting, and a couple of years, it really turned out good for me. And those two games you mentioned with the five home runs, I just remember floating around the bases going, this certainly can't be happening. But I believe that was the year I hit 33 home runs. So it just happened to be a year where I got 33 doubles that happened to get elevated and got over the wall that year.
Barry Larkin with us, a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, entire 19 career with the Cincinnati Reds. We'll talk about when he went to the World Series in 1990 against the Oakland A's. We do that as we move across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.